All the way. would say something, but I need to rest. I don't mind singing, but they make me sing real loud up there. I ain't gonna call on name, but he stands beside me on that side, all right? But, you know, I enjoy singing. I really do. But my goodness, oh, wow, I like that song. We practiced that 10 times this morning. Shame on them for calling on me. That's all right. If you have your Bible, the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter number 49. Psalms 49. It is good to sing. It is a joy. I don't sing very often. I don't have the throat to do it anymore. Psalms chapter number 49. I'd like to be able to share something with you this morning that I'll not be able to get it all. I just won't. There's just not enough time. I want you to read this psalm as I read it and studied earlier in the week. I just could not get away from it and study, and so I want you to listen to it. Verse 1, it says, "Hear this, O ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high and rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings unto the heart. Wherefore shall I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about?" You might ought to read that one more time to let it make sense and kind of sink in. "Wherefore shall I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels, my feet, me, shall compass me about?" One day is accountability. You can get by without it. Young man this morning, down in Florida, he decided that he was going to jump the walls there where the president's house is. Little did he know, he was met with somebody, and whenever he decided to take a gun and kind of just point it at somebody, that didn't work. He lost his life. What was he thinking? What was he? Like millions of other people. There's thousands of people every day that go off into eternity that are not thinking. They're thinking, this won't happen to me. Death won't find me. They don't think about it. Friend, one day there's going to be a reckoning where your heels, your feet, your own accountability. But let me go on. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning. Oh God, how we ask you, God, to look into our heart. God, you know the wickedness of man. You know my wickedness. And God, I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. And thankful that my redemption is not through my works. Redemption is through none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, today, oh God, that you'll speak to all of our hearts. Get our hearts and our minds centered upon you. Let the words that come out of our heart be able to be said what you'd have for us to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse that we read, where it really, really gets down to an understanding. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them by any means can redeem his brother." I don't know how to explain this, but I have to start thinking about what that really means. When it said earlier there in that earlier verse that we just kind of mentioned, we are going to be held accountable. We cannot get away from accountability. In our present society, we like to utilize things like, well, I got by with this. That's a terminology. We're in a school every day that a lot of kids can get by with things happening and not get caught. You remember back when you went to school, you did the same thing. And you pride yourself on getting by with something. Something that really didn't amount to nothing. But you learned. You learned if you was conniving enough, maybe a tough word, but you learned if you think it through, you might get out of getting in trouble or getting caught if you're smart enough to figure it out. In the eyes of God, you will not get away with anything. Not at all. I like the verses that says that we're going to give an account of every word, and he uses idle words. We're going to give an account. But this particular verse talks about people that could have means or money, lots of money. And if you have a lot of money, you can probably do a lot of things with a lot of money. You can get things you want. You can get folks to do things that they don't even want to do if you give them enough money. But you can't pay God enough for a ransom for your soul. You can't pay enough. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and all he wanted was eternal life. He didn't really care about the other things, or he never mentioned heaven. Never mentioned leaving this world. He only mentioned eternal life. And that meant I've got what I really need here. And if I can stay in these certain circumstances and stay in this kind of life, I'd like to have eternal life. God wouldn't even grant him that. Well, man, you don't have enough money. That ain't what God said. Well, you don't have enough prestige. That ain't what God said. God doesn't look at our standing in the community, and God doesn't look at the richest man in the world and say, well, you have the means. You have the means right there that you can be and get redeemed for your soul. But this particular verse says there's no way. It's an impossibility, but this is what it says. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. None of them by any means can redeem his brother. That doesn't matter if you think about it. That doesn't matter if you try to figure out a different way. You try to bypass the law. You try to figure out and let somebody write a new law. There is no way by any means, there's no possible way by any means that you can redeem your brother. I believe there's a little bit more to this. Listen to what it says. Nor give to God a ransom for him. I want to read something, and you can turn, but I'll get to it eventually in Isaiah chapter 51. But I'll get to it eventually, but don't you listen to me. When it talks about a ransom, we kind of understand what that means. If somebody kidnaps you, you'll pay a ransom to get them back. That's the terminology that we use in our present society. But to have the means to pay that ransom or to get those folks redeemed is means that you use what's important to you to pay for that redemption. The children of Israel were in the land of Egypt. We read of this mainly in the book of Exodus. The children of Israel were over there and they were in bondage year after year after year, and they had prayed for a redeemer and they prayed for somebody to lead them out of that bondage. And after many years of praying, God answered their prayer. When he sent unto them Moses, man, that was the man that was, they all loved Moses. Well, you know how much of that story. They liked him one day and hated him the next day, that kind of thing. But there was God answering their prayer. They were in bondage. And for them to get out of bondage, They had to leave the land of Egypt. But to be able to leave the land of Egypt, Pharaoh had to let them go. They were slaves. It ain't like freedoms that we have. But to be able to be let go, Pharaoh had to say, okay, you can go. Their armies of Pharaoh were stronger than God's people. They would have been killed. They wouldn't have made it out of town. These folks were slaves. They didn't have an army. They didn't have a force. They had nothing to defend themselves. And friend, it's easy to pick on folks that can't defend themselves. Watch this. God told Moses, listen, here's what's going to happen. First thing, water becomes blood. Frogs, lice, you began to name all the plagues that hit the land of Egypt. Out of every one of those plagues and every one of those things that happened, all God did was just boom, there it goes. Easy. It was easy to turn the water into blood. Easy to make the frogs and the lice and all the other things. It was easy for God to do all of those things that he did. There was no cost in the redemption of God's people. Wasn't hard at all what God did. Out of all the things, it would have been easy for the children of Israel to say, well, God is going to get us out and we're not going to have to do nothing at all. It's kind of the terminology that people use today. Everybody's going to go to heaven. We don't have to do nothing at all. It's not true. I'm not saved by my works. But according to Psalms, there's no way by any means that I can ever redeem my brother. I can't pay it. The children of Israel then, after all the plagues that God had put upon them, God told his people, and he began to say, all right, this is going, in my terminology, the final one. On this final thing, here's what you have got to do. You have got to take a lamb, a spot without blemish, and named all of those things. And that particular lamb, you're going to have to slay that lamb. And you're going to, and that lamb, that blood that comes out of that lamb, you're going to put it on the doorpost and the lamb. We know this story and we know it well. And we think, wow, what an amazing story. And that blood on the doorpost and the lintel, all those that's in that house, if everybody's in that house, the firstborn won't die on that night. But if you're outside, and or if you don't have your house is not protected by that blood, if you're out there in the world, friend, firstborn's going to die. A lot different from blood and water or frogs or life. It's a lot different, isn't it? In fact, it required them to utilize faith in what God had said. It was a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier to say, well, I'll just take my chances with this world. It would have been a whole lot easier like the rest of the land of Egypt on that night. I'm not slaying no lamb. I'm not putting no blood on door. There's no way I'm going to smear blood on the walls of my house. See, a lot of folks think, there's just no way I'm going to do what God said. There's just no way I'm going to listen to that preacher. And that preacher says, you need to repent of your sin. There's no way. I'm just as good as anybody else. That's what the people of the land of Egypt, they thought actually they were better than the children of Israel. Them was just slaves. We're Egyptians. You got to have to think sometimes like we are. There's a lot of folks because they got money, prestige, and the power in this world. They're a whole lot better than. I'm glad that the Bible says that the gospel, the poor has the gospel preached to them. You know what that means? That means an old poor person can walk down the aisle and be saved and go to heaven and live in a mansion made by God and walk on streets of pure gold, and he don't have to have a nickel in his pocket to get it done. I'm going to repeat that until I die, because I'm glad God made provisions for the poor of this world. Not to have riches down here. Oh, hey, I got riches. My riches is up on that other side. Watch this. On that particular night, God caused death to come into every household in the land of Egypt. God's people, on the other hand, were spared. Middle of the night, wailing all over the land of Egypt. And what did Pharaoh do? Y'all get up, get out of here. We don't want to see you no more. Sounds like a wonderful story. That story was bought and paid for by the blood of that lamb. That's how it was done. It wasn't done by, God didn't do nothing. God just said, here's what you do. And if you don't do, here's the results. God makes a salvation story so simple and so easy that a child can be saved. But God makes that story so simple, but go so complete, that if you don't do exactly what God says do, guess what? Death's gonna find you. Salvation comes today. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And if you don't do it the way God says, hell's gonna find you. There's no gray area. Now I want to read something that's found here. And I want you to listen in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 51. And listen as we read one verse. Listen. Art not thou not it which had dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over. Now, if you haven't read that before, that's describing the children of Israel went all the way up to the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his army was following after them behind. And they had no way to get over. And God, on that particular day, caused the wind to blow. And all of a sudden, the waters parted. And the children of Israel, listen to me, the children of Israel crossed over on dry ground. The words that was used here was the depths of the sea and all that was dried up, and the redeemed crossed over. The redeemed, what does that mean? That mean their debt was paid by some means necessary to redeem them. Now remember what we read there in Psalms. There's no way, there's no means that man can do. There's no way that I can pay to redeem my brother. But that doesn't mean all hope is lost. It doesn't mean that there is no way to be saved. Friend, how hard are they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? But friend, there are ways. One particular way, there is one name under heaven given among men whereby we must or shall be saved. No other means necessary. No other way. In fact, upon this particular night, when the children of Israel were redeemed by God, they were redeemed because it all started out by the shedding of blood of that one animal. Because if you remember correctly, the size of the household was very important. That meant every household, they would kill the lamb according to the household. I mean, that just kind of got complicated, didn't it? It kind of makes things a little bit hard. If our salvation was based upon works and laws and principles, it would be very complicated. We might say, well, do I follow it this direction? The laws of our land can get very complicated, in so much that if I do something wrong and they arrest me, you know, I'm not smart enough to defend myself. I hire me a lawyer to speak for me. In fact, if it's a heavy enough crime, a big enough crime, I'll go and spend a whole lot more money to get a better lawyer. I don't want the rookie, I want the best. But friend of mine, when it comes to the salvation of your soul for all eternity, you'll say things like this: I'll go on my own. I'll do it myself. I'll stand on my own works. The Bible says there's no way by any means that you can redeem your brother. No way by any means can you redeem your brother. Only way to salvation must be other than me with my brother. Because, friend, the children of Israel went across on dry ground. Here we read of it, and he says the redeemed passed through. The redeemed, they weren't even called by their name. Listen, there was a tribe of Levi, and I can name all the other tribes. We could just list them all and say, boy, why didn't he call them the 12 tribes of the children of Israel? Why didn't we call them that? Why didn't they go, look, I see the tribe of Levi. Look at there, I see. Man, we could just go through all them. Look, we see them. No, you know what he saw? Redeemed. Why is that important? Friend of mine, whenever folks go to heaven, how do folks go to heaven? Well, friend, they don't go to heaven because of their own works or own merits or own this. No, there's no way by any means can man be redeemed. You can't be redeemed. You can't redeem your brother. I can't help my brother. But listen, when folks go to heaven, they don't go to heaven because their last name's Tally. I didn't gain any merit because my last name's Tally. And I could have been one of those in that list of folks that was crossing the river. And he wouldn't say, look there, out of all them folks, there's old brother Tally. I don't get to go to heaven because my last name's Tally. Something must be a little bit bigger. I was reading something in this particular verse, and just listen to me. This particular verse says this. I'm in Timothy, the second chapter, and here's what it says in verses 6. Verse 5 says, but there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God himself, Jesus came along and gave his life so that all could have their debt paid. And when Christ paid that ransom for all, my name is not important, but my title is important. My name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, as Dusty's already said in Sunday school this morning, but I got news for you. My title is important. What is my title? My title was just like them folks crossing over on the dry ground. They were the redeemed. My title is now redeemed. Who am I? I'm nothing. But who paid the ransom for all is everything. He's the one that made it possible. Just like that lamb was slain for that family for the firstborn not to die back in the land of Egypt, for that firstborn not to die. When they did what God said do, when that took place and they shed that blood and they put it on the doorpost and lintel, it made it possible. That was the only way. There's no other redemptive means for your brother. There's no way you can think it up. But what Jesus did, he died on the cross, paid my ransom for all. But wait a minute. A little bit later on in that same verse, he not only paid the ransom for all, but said to be testified. Testified? What do you mean, testified? In a church service, if we talk about a testimonial service, we say that's when somebody stands up and they testify what God has done for them. We call that a testimonial service. If I testify to the fact that I have been saved, that means I'm telling what God has done for me. I'll give that testimony. But what does that mean when he has paid a ransom for all and to be testified? One day, I want to use it this way. You just bear with my little story. One day, I'm going to have to give an account. Now, I know what the Bible says about judgments, but one day is a reckoning day. In fact, if I had to stand before God right now, and I'm really, if it was a serious crime, like unbelief, like telling a lie, like doing bad, my bad would heavily outweigh my good. I could have all kinds of piles and piles and piles of sins and problems and worries and misery. All these kinds of bad things I've done in this world. And if I look over here to my good pile, I hope I'd have one. But that ain't how I'll face God. In fact, it ain't going to happen this way, but just listen to me. Because of the redemptive power of God, when it comes time that God called me in front of him, here's what had transpired. Christ would go for me. Not because of what I am, not because of my bad. He would testify of the fact that he paid the ransom for all, including me. He would stand on my behalf. He wouldn't be a lawyer that I'd say, well, can I afford you as my lawyer? Friend of mine, Jesus paid the price with his own precious blood. And because he paid that price, he just doesn't represent me. Oh, he could. He doesn't just represent me. He is my life. He is my being. He paid the ransom for my... I could not redeem my brother. There's no way I can help my friend. Friend, there's no way I can save myself. But what Jesus did is paid the ransom for all. Doesn't matter the color of your skin, how rich or poor. Has nothing to do with statistics. Has everything to do with you believing in him redeeming your soul. It's the craziest thing in the world to believe that you lived in a house back in the land of Egypt when you was a slave, had no rights, no means, no nothing, and you're told by a preacher, Old preacher Moses. Moses says, listen, God says do this. Ain't that the silliest thing and the craziest thing in the world to do, to believe that we can slay an animal and take that blood and just put it on the door and stay in the house that night and everything will be all right? Kind of silly, isn't it? Kind of crazy. And that's the way the world looks at church today. It's kind of silly. Kind of crazy. What goes on at the average church? Well, what goes on at the average church is not the outward stuff that we might do. But the Bible, according to the Bible, when the preaching of the gospel, when you have the gospel message delivered to this world, that's one ingredient that's very important. It's very important. But the next important thing, it's when you have the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God to an unsaved soul. Very important. Not the only thing, but it's very important. But when that message is preached and that spirit is convicted in that heart, when that soul, no matter how silly, no matter how crazy it might be, but when that person has faith to believe what God says, whether it's in that preached word or it's as simple as saying Moses told them folks to put it on the top of the door and on the sides of the door. When they by faith believe that word that he said, they all of a sudden trusted God for the redemption of their soul. Can you imagine what it would have been like on the night whenever that firstborn was in that house and him looking at the blood and saying, the only way I live is through that blood. The only way that I'm going to see the sunlight of tomorrow is through that blood. And whenever he put his faith in trust in what God had said, he could go to sleep right there, Johnny on the spot, and sleep, have a sweet sleep all night long, because he didn't trust in man, because there's no way that man can by any means can redeem his brother. But if he'll trust God, no matter how crazy it might seem to the world, when you trust God for the salvation of your soul, all of a sudden you can receive him, the one that paid the ransom for all. And that's you. I'm not a tally in heaven. I'm a redeemed in heaven. You see, my name ain't going to mean nothing. His name means everything. Mine don't mean nothing. On the other side, I get everything that belongs to God. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. It ain't something that I paid for. He paid for it all. And you, my friend, we get to go. It won't take me but a minute. When them children of Israel crossed over that Red Sea, whenever they crossed over on dry ground, they got to the other side. Pharaoh and his armies didn't get to go. The reason they didn't get to go, they didn't go the redemptive way. And when the children of Israel crossed over and they got to the other side, God said, well, I'm through. He just let that water go on. Every one of Pharaoh and his army, they died on that day. Well, here's what I wanted to share. When the children of Israel crossed over, you know, their memory, it was just a memory of being enslaved then. They weren't slaves no longer. They were free. It was just a memory. The moment I die as a redeemed person, it'll be a memory of all the heartaches and troubles of this world. It'll be a memory. Every time Jackson, he's got fresh memories of basic training. I got old ones. So when we talk, I talk about old ones, you know, when, 400 years ago, old memories. His is rather fresh. And being a fresh memory, he can remember the sweat and the pain. Me, I have to think about, did I like that or not? Big difference, isn't it? Soon as you go to the other side, it'll be a distant memory of this world. Because you're going to be looking at the children of Israel, we're looking toward the promised land. You mean to tell me that whenever I die, if I've been redeemed, there's a promised land? It's called heaven. That's all it is. It's heaven. I'll never know death or sorrow or crying. I'll never know the heartaches of this world. It had been a memory. Not by any means can I redeem my brother. There's no way. Not by my riches, not by my prestige, not by what I got can I redeem my brother. But you, my friend, I can tell you how you can be redeemed. I can't save you, but God can. I can't get you to heaven, but God can. I don't know the way, but He's the way. I don't know the life, but He's the life. I don't know how to get there. I don't know which way to go. But Jesus said, come by the door. There's no other way. If you'll come by that door, I'll get you there. You, my friend here, if you're lost without God and you need a Savior, you need somebody to redeem you, I can only point you to Jesus Christ. I can't point you nowhere else. I'm not going to point you to religion. I'm not going to point you to church membership. I'm going to point you to Jesus Christ. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's have a song invitation, Brother Greg. I can't tell you a lot today. I can tell you how many times that I read that Bible and it still points to the same message. I can tell you that whenever I preach the word that God's put upon my heart, it all comes back to a lost and dying world rejecting God. But He gives an out to onesies. One day I was the onesie. One day God spoke to me. And when God spoke to me, I took advantage and asked Christ to come into my heart. Friend of mine, you're that onesie today that God can speak to you. And if you'll receive Him, He'll save your soul. He'll redeem you today, just like He did to me years ago. But if you're not saved and you try to do it on your own, there's no way by any means you can redeem your brother. May we stand, sing a verse. If God's speaking to you, come, my friend. Would you come? Know Him.